Hey, this is Ty Ray from Beats and Eats Podcast, and today's Celtics post-game show is being brought to you by the SeatGeek ticketing app. As the Celtics playoff push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. And it doesn't end with the Celtics or any other NBA game. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available too, and it's fully guaranteed. Listeners to CLNS Radio can support this production and get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code, and enter promo code CLNS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just two taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy Portland Trailblazers tickets, and I found the app a breeze to use. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click on Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code CLNS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients are created equal. So fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make the real difference, and that's why Blue Apron is so good. Blue Apron will send you meals to your house for less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or just heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best right to your door. You don't even have to go out to the grocery store. It's cold outside now. You don't have to go out and be cold. You can stay inside forever and just cook Blue Apron. They have new recipes weekly, and they're not even repeated within a year. So you make one, you don't have to do it again. It makes it, it's fresh every single time. It's new every single time. You have your own little restaurant in your kitchen. You can customize your recipe each week based on your preferences. I don't like fish that much, so I'm able to customize this so that I don't get fish options. I actually got a masala spice chicken dish. I love chicken tikka masala. This is perfect. It came with a kale and lime rice side, so I kind of got a little bit of everything, got a balanced nutritional meal. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create this incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron. As someone who does not cook very well and struggles with toast bagel bites, I am actually cooking meals and I'm actually doing it pretty well, and it's an amazing experience, and it's actually really good food. So you'll love Blue Apron. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
I joined Get in Shape for Women because my health demanded a lifestyle change. My blood pressure was high, my cholesterol was high, and my weight was high. I love the trainers. They make it fun. They make it accountable. I'm getting lots of compliments, feeling confident, feeling fabulous. My name is Michelle Burns. I'm 46 years old. I'm down 25 pounds in 3 dress sizes.
Sign up for your free week trial today. Visit GetInShapeForWomen.com. That's GetInShapeForWomen.com.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
I'm Jared Weiss, host of the Garden Report Celtics postgame show, which is the only full-length, high-definition postgame show shot in the Garden after every Celtics home game. I'm joined by a rotating crew of some of the best reporters covering the Celtics after every game. The Garden Report takes you inside the locker room with player and coach interviews in full high-definition, so subscribe to the CLNS Radio YouTube channel by going to youtube.com/CLNSRadio to catch every episode of the Garden Report and every full-length coach and player press conference at each Celtics home game. You can also listen to The Garden Report and all the player interviews as a podcast by subscribing to The Garden Report on iTunes and Stitcher or by visiting the CLNS Radio app in the App Store.
Uh-huh.
CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry A. Trussell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients are created equal. So fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make the real difference, and that's why Blue Apron is so good. Blue Apron will send you meals to your house for less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or just heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best right to your door. You don't even have to go out to the grocery store. It's cold outside now. You don't have to go out and be cold. You can stay inside forever and just cook Blue Apron. They have new recipes weekly, and they're not even repeated within a year. So you make one, you don't have to do it again. It makes it's fresh every single time. It's new every single time. You have your own little restaurant in your kitchen. You can customize your recipe each week based on your preferences. I don't like fish that much, so I'm able to customize this so that I don't get fish options. I actually got a masala spice chicken dish. I love chicken tikka masala. This is perfect. It came with a kale and lime rice side, so I kind of got a little bit of everything, got a balanced nutritional meal. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create this incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron. As someone who does not cook very well and struggles to toast bagel bites, I am actually cooking meals and I'm actually doing it pretty well, and it's an amazing experience, and it's actually really good food. So you'll love Blue Apron. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Thank you.
I joined Get in Shape for Women because my health demanded a lifestyle change. My blood pressure was high, my cholesterol was high, and my weight was high. I love the trainers. They make it fun. They make it accountable. I'm getting lots of compliments, feeling confident, feeling fabulous. My name is Michelle Burns. I'm 46 years old. I'm down 25 pounds in 3 dress sizes.
Sign up for your free week trial today. Visit GetInShapeForWomen.com. That's GetInShapeForWomen.com.
Hey, this is Ty Ray from Beats and Eats Podcast, and today's Celtics post-game show is being brought to you by the SeatGeek ticketing app. As the Celtics playoff push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. And it doesn't end with the Celtics or any other NBA game. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available too, and it's fully guaranteed. Listeners to CLNS Radio can support this production and get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code and enter promo code CLNS. We'll send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just 2 taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy Portland Trailblazers tickets, and I found the app a breeze to use. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click on add a promo code. Enter promo code CLNS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in to the CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show. My name is Matt Rury. We're a little late tonight because the game ran a little late tonight, a lot of timeouts towards the end of the game. CLNS Radio, of course, is the leading online provider of audio-video coverage for the Boston Celtics. And tonight we come to you after a win in Brooklyn, a closer game than it should have been. But, of course, Isaiah Thomas missed this one. Celtics win 98-95 against the Nets. And tonight, if you want to give us a call, please do it. 347-215-7771. I expected to be joined by Calvin Chamberlain, but he is not here yet. So, for now, I'm joined by Nick Sesento, and he was going to be chiming in at some point in the show anyway, so we're just going to make his mic live right away and say, how you doing, Nick? It's been a little while. I haven't done a show in a few weeks.
Yeah, a little while. Always have fun working with you, Matt, so it's good to come on the show, and it's good that we won. I'm happy that we get to discuss a win instead of a loss, although I have a feeling a loss would have been a little bit more interesting for the show, but...
Well, there were times in the past where they would play a game like this against the Nets, and I would come on the show and say, well, it feels like a loss. But this one actually felt like a win because, of course, I said Isaiah Thomas, leading scorer, didn't play tonight. He's not going to play on Sunday either. We can talk about that a little bit later because I have some questions about the motives behind that decision. But he is out, so it diminishes their talent level, obviously. And it makes them vulnerable because it takes away arguably the most important person on their offense. And they have to find other ways to score tonight because the Nets were a team that, even though they didn't really put on an offensive show, they showed that they could hang with the Celtics when Thomas is not in a lineup. So they had to gut one out tonight, and they found a way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I think earlier in the season, this might have been a game that the Celtics didn't win. But I think that the fact that they were able to stick in there. And, you know, Nets always want to beat the Celtics because of the situation with the draft picks. We've gone over this a million times on the show. And they always seem to want to give us the best game that they possibly can. The Celtics might not have won this game, you know, earlier in the season when we had some of these other injuries before the team had really gelled and come together. I'm glad that they were able to stick it out, but I think it shows that minus Isaiah Thomas, this team really doesn't have much dependable, I would say, offensive firepower. This was very much a team win. I think there was, what, five players in double-figure scoring. Very much a team win and needed every single bit of effort from all of those players to beat the worst team in the league. So it's a, you know, up and down, you know, bittersweet victory, so to speak.
Yeah, and it was definitely a situation where they all chip in, like you said, and some guys more than others. We'll get into the particulars in a little bit. But first, I want to remind you that the opening segment here on the Celtics postgame show is powered by SeatGeek. And as the playoff push for the Celtics starts to heat up, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every single game. So go check it out. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. That's right, two clicks on your phone, and you're getting tickets. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. You're not going to get any counterfeit tickets. And there's nothing like being in the arena for the biggest plays of the year, let me tell you, because I've seen some great ones over the years. SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, but you know what? I don't need to use it for Celtics tickets. You all know that, not to brag or anything. But I can get anything else on there. So I find that it's the easiest way to shop for tickets. And anywhere I am, I can just use it with a few taps, find seats wherever I want to go. And I was just looking for tickets to a Hall & Oates concert at TD Garden. They're filling some time there at some point in the next couple of months. And that's what I was trying to see. And SeatGeek brought it to me. So check this out. $20 rebate. Get that right. $20 rebate. If you download the SeatGeek app and go to the settings tab and add a promo code, that promo code, of course, is CLNS. So again, download the SeatGeek app. That's free. They'll send you $20 when you make your first ticket purchase and use the promo code CLNS right now. And with that, I remind you the Celtics won 98-95 tonight. Maybe you want to go to the SeatGeek app and get some tickets for the game on Monday, which is a big one against the Washington Wizards. But first, we talk about tonight's game. And Calvin has made it to the show. So, Calvin Chamberlain, welcome in. Hello, sir.
Yeah, sorry about that. My stream was a couple minutes behind, apparently. I didn't realize it. The game just ended for me. So, here I am a couple minutes late. Sorry about that.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah.
Technologically, is that a word? Challenged. Calvin Chamberlain, Nick Sesento, thank you for filling in for him, sir. And if Calvin continues to chop up like he is, then we may bring you back for a few minutes. Calvin, let's try again.
I sound bad already? I can switch to phone. I just figured.
Yeah. I think you might have to switch to the phone. I'm going to check with Nick to see if he agrees with me there, but you are chopping up for me.
Yeah, definitely. There's a chop up there. Ruri, if I had known that you were a Hall & Oates fan, I would have put some Hall & Oates music bumpers in between the network break.
Next time. Now you know.
Now I know what to look for.
Anyway, while we wait on getting Calvin back here, we're going to get him on the phone. I did want to go back and sort of just touch on the fact that in the past, the Celtics probably or would have, if they had come out of a win here, with a win in a game like this, I would have come after the game onto the show and said, this one doesn't feel like a win. It feels like a loss. And I touched on that earlier, but this one actually, even though they played the Nets, does feel like a win to me because they played cohesively. They played as a team. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't the sweetest of games. They didn't shoot very well from the field as a team. But overall, they made plays that ended up winning the game. And yeah, I'm not here to toot their horn during a win over the Nets, but it was good that they could show that they can win a game that people would probably just expect them to win, but in the past they may have lost a game like this. And it's good that they can win that game without Isaiah Thomas and have everybody step up for the most part. Amir Johnson played a great game as well, even though he didn't break that 10-point barrier. But the star of this one was really Jay Crowder. And aside from taking a bump from Quincy Acey a couple times, Crowder was all over the place in this game tonight, Nick. And he seems to be pretty close to 100% healthy, if not quite there yet.
Yeah, 24-12 for Jay Crowder on 7-for-11 shooting. I mean, it doesn't in 6-for-7 from the line. Doesn't get much better than that. Only one turnover and one foul. I know we're not a big plus-minus group here, but plus-minus of +9. So, I mean, just did everything right tonight. He was the leader, the clear leader of this team tonight, you know, and brought it through. But like I mentioned a little bit earlier, 5 players in double figures. So it was a cumulative team effort. And I think that's what this team needs when Isaiah Thomas is not there. It would be nice if we could get some of the numbers we saw tonight from the role players sometimes when Isaiah Thomas is playing, but I guess there isn't, you know, there aren't that many basketballs to go around. But 24 from Crowder, 14 from Horford, 12 from Smart, 16 from Bradley, and then 11 from Gerald Green. I like the Gerald Green contributions. How about you, Rory?
Yeah, Gerald Green definitely kicked in some good minutes there. At one point, it was 11 points in 11 minutes. He ended up playing 17 minutes and did score those 11 points. But he made shots when it counted, and that's typically what he does. Let's get Calvin back in here, Nick. Thanks again for filling in. We'll bring you back in a little bit. Calvin, am I overreacting to this win tonight, or was it something that the Celtics really needed to pull out? Were you at all impressed in the way that they did it without Isaiah Thomas?
No. Not really. No, not at all. I thought this was there were things that I was impressed by, but I mostly found this to be a terrible basketball game. Outside, I guess I'll give them credit for persevering in that fourth quarter, but this next team is not bringing much firepower to the table, other than Brooke Lopez, who plays a delightfully old school brand of basketball, and it was interesting to, you know, see the Celtics have to deal with their traditional center to see how Al Horford did against him. But you know what? You're right. They got the win tonight, Rory. And you know what happens when the Celtics win in this situation? What always happens, the question Celtics fans have to ask themselves every time, Rory. So I'm just going to start out right off the bat by asking you, are the Celtics better without Isaiah Thomas?
Here we go again. First, I'm just going to say that I'm looking at the box score, and the Nets have names that even while I watched the game and heard the announcers saying these guys' names, I still don't know who some of these guys are. So maybe I was overrating the Celtics' win to start the show. But are they better without Isaiah Thomas? No, of course not. No, especially not in this type of a game. That's outrageous. I mean, they barely squeaked out a win against the Brooklyn Nets. I can't believe I called them Brooklyn, because 5 years ago I vowed that I would never refer to them as anything other than the New Jersey Nets. But they're still New Jersey to me. I can't believe that this franchise is in a situation where they are right now. And I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but the point is that the Celtics, they squeaked out a win here. So if anybody's going to go out and pump the tires of them and say this is a great win or anything like that, then they're kind of out of their mind. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I am a little bit impressed with the way that they won the game, because they didn't do it offensively, and they proved that they could come together as a team. And they did have a couple guys that stood out on offense, but for the most part, they won this game with their defense. And again, it's the Nets. I understand that, but I think that if they can follow up with a win against Philadelphia, who has a better roster on Sunday without Isaiah Thomas, then that is going to be the more impressive feat. But they need to come out of this weekend winning both games, I think.
I just thought it was an ugly basketball game. They scored 45 points in the first half. You know, they had a better second half in terms of scoring. There were bright spots. You know, once they sort of shifted their offense away from, you know, the disastrous Marcus Smart with the ball in his hand and more to, like, setting up Jay Crowder for perimeter shots. He was, you know, like you talked about a minute ago, but he was an assassin on the catch and shoot, just setting him up. And it was good to see him get Avery Bradley into the offense more. I feel like he hasn't, you know, he hasn't really found his rhythm yet. I don't think he's completely healthy because he's still sort of getting burned all the time on the defensive end. But I think that, like, they need to make him a little bit more of a facilitator on the offensive end. And even, yeah, doing those, you know, patented Avery Bradley back cuts, it was good to see a little bit more of that than we have in recent games. And whether that has anything to do with the lack of Isaiah Thomas, yeah, all kidding aside about them being better, it's just a joke I made because as soon as somebody gets injured, Celtics fans start asking if the team's better without Avery Bradley.
No, I know.
Without whoever's in the game, it's like, are we better without this guy the second they win a couple of games? And the answer is almost always no. And in this case, obviously, without Isaiah, it's definitely no. But that being said, you know, there may be a game or two in the playoffs when Isaiah's in foul trouble or he has a minor issue or he has to sit out a game or whatever, in which case you want to see other guys sort of – you want to see the offense develop without him. And I like what they did with Bradley. I like what they did with Al Horford, particularly early in the game. Yeah, I think I like the fact that he took advantage of his matchup with Lopez by bringing him outside late. But what I was talking more about was early in the game where he sort of took the ball in that high post, you know.
I was just going to ask you about that because while Jay Crowder was the leading scorer for the team, and actually he was the leading scorer for the game by a point. Brook Lopez just had 23. But even though he was the leading scorer, the Celtics, he was more a product scoring as it was a product of the offense and the ball moving. They weren't running plays for him. They focused pretty intently on getting the ball to Al Horford early in that game and getting the ball in the post and having him work on Brook Lopez. And you mentioned earlier the way that they approached Brook Lopez as a traditional center on defense, but I was looking at it more on the other end, and I thought that they took it right at him quite often, and to me that just shows that they have confidence in Al Horford to beat a guy like that. So he does have the offense that some people were clamoring for over the past few weeks. Just, they don't call for it that often, and that's what people need to realize when he's not scoring a lot.
Yeah, it's funny because I forget how huge Brook Lopez is until you watch him in that game, and he just towered over Al Horford. And Al Horford's a big dude, 6'10". Brook Lopez is just significantly wider and bigger than him in every way, which makes me wonder. Brook Lopez is only getting 5 rebounds a game. I think that's part of why I don't realize that he's huge. I don't know. Maybe it's a hard thing for him because he's definitely always in the low post. But it just seemed like there were times where he was getting out-hustled by Horford. And just the thing I like about Horford in that mid-post and is something that I hope – I feel like they were really getting him the ball there early in the season and they've sort of gotten away from it. You know, as Isaiah sort of transitioned into becoming Isaiah, I think the playbook sort of went away from Al Horford mid-post basketball. But he's such a good passer from that position. Guys cutting all around him. That, like, I love to see it. I think it opens up not just his scoring, but the entire offense. And it was nice, again, not to say that they're better without Isaiah, because clearly they're not based on anything else that happened in this game. But rather than seeing Marcus Smart try to post up and then miss an easy layup or, like, spin out of control and fall down, I'd rather that those plays go to a guy like Horford or an off-the-ball cutting Avery Bradley.
Yeah, it's just more fluid basketball, and I trust them more to make the right decision when they get the ball. Because there are some plays where they'll have Bradley not even cutting off the ball down to the basket. They'll have him coming off a screen and giving him the option to either pull up and shoot a three or get to the hoop or make a pass. And as well as Marcus Smart has been playing, and as impressive as some of his passes are, I still don't trust his decision-making as much as I would trust Bradley's or Horford's. So when it comes down to it, if that's what they're going to be running later, and if Isaiah goes down, then yeah, I love to see stuff like that. And the ball was running through Marcus Smart a lot too. So what I like what you're suggesting here and getting the ball to Bradley more often and just running things through Horford as well, because they actually have already been doing that throughout the season, even with Isaiah in the lineup. They've been going to Horford as like a pass through in the offense. He doesn't have the stats, but I tell you, if they did stats like they did in hockey with the extra assist, I think Horford would have a lot more this year because the Celtics use him more as a facilitator to get the ball moving on offense as opposed to the guy who finishes the play, you know?
Yeah, my issue with running the ball through Marcus Smart, and he has improved his court vision, he has improved his passing, but he's still such a bad finisher, and I feel like he doesn't recognize the fact that he's a bad finisher. So when he has the ball in his hands, especially without Isaiah in the game, there's so many times where like he'll just try to take his man one-on-one and take up a shot. That it might even be a decent shot, but it just he either consistently rushes it or he's out of control at the finish. And it's just like, I don't know, I'm not a Celtics fan, but it still drives me nuts watching him sort of his usage rate. When they have him play point guard, his usage rate is way higher than I like. I like him more as an off-the-ball player, even though, yeah, he's not a great three-point shooter by percentage. I still feel like just as a cutter and a guy who, like, gets offensive rebounds and little things like that as an off-ball player, there's little Marcus Smart things that he doesn't have value, but I feel like that value just decreases exponentially when you put the ball in his hands.
Yeah, it's tough because you have to have him in there for a significant period of time to play defense, and he showed great anticipation on defense tonight. He had a nice steal where he jumped the passing lane. The whole team really was knocking the ball away and getting good deflections, whether they were steals or just balls out of bounds and the stays possession for the Nets. But Marcus Smart still shows that anticipation on the defensive end, so you have to keep him in the game. You can't just take him out of the game. So you have to find creative ways to get him involved on offense. And I like him as the play, as like the initiator of the play. And like you were saying, he doesn't finish very well, and he – to me, still takes bad shots. So his passing is the most impressive part of his offensive game to me at this point. So they should utilize that more, and they've been doing that down the stretch here. And I like what I see him as far as that is concerned. But we will talk more about that in just a few minutes when we open up the Movement Watches call lines at 347-215-7771. Check us out. Stay right there, and we'll go to you on those call lines. It's the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show.
Hey, this is Ty Ray from Beats and Eats Podcast, and today's Celtics postgame show is being brought to you by the SeatGeek ticketing app. As the Celtics playoff push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. And it doesn't end with the Celtics or any other NBA game. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available too, and it's fully guaranteed. Listeners to CLNS Radio can support this production and get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code, and enter promo code CLNS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just two taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to buy Portland Trailblazers tickets, and I found the app a breeze to use. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click on Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code CLNS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today.
Oh, that was quicker than I thought it was. Wow, caught me by surprise. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. Matt Rury here making a fool of himself, with Calvin Chamberlain not making a fool of himself, because he did it earlier. Celtics win 98-95. down in Brooklyn, and now they are heading to Philadelphia to play on Sunday. Calvin, earlier we were just talking about how Marcus Smart was playing pretty well tonight, but we don't like the fact that he would be considered a finisher, or he thinks he's a finisher, or what have you. But I think the coaching staff has it right as far as he's concerned. And honestly, looking at the rest of this team, I don't know if there's really anybody besides what we were just also mentioning about Avery Bradley that they need to game plan for. It seems to me like you kind of just let Jay Crowder go out and do his thing. You let Amir Johnson do his thing on defense. Al Horford is the guy in the middle and sort of is touching the ball a lot and facilitating things. And, of course, when Isaiah Thomas is healthy, he goes out and he gets to the basket pretty much whenever he wants. So I guess my point of bringing this up is if the coaching staff is only focusing or only needs to focus on gearing up things for Marcus Smart, what else is really going on here? How can't he improve more? And I think I'm asking a little bit too much of Marcus Smart at this point, but I'm trying to drum up something to talk about at this point. And I don't know. I feel like he was hyped as far as his draft status was concerned. They picked him high. Danny Ainge hypes him to this day. And I'm starting to wonder if he's ever going to take a huge jump. How do you feel about that?
You know, he's a guy in his... Here's the thing. He's a guy in his third season, which, like, you can still make a jump from there. But my inclination, just based on, like, how hard he plays every night and everything that he tries to do, I think for him to take a huge jump into, like, to a
like
star...
Like scoring. Yeah.
Like, yeah, for him to turn into a star-level player, it's... I find it a little bit unrealistic. I mean, it's possible. You know, I think Jason Kidd turned himself into an awesome three-point shooter after being a terrible three-point shooter for the majority of his career. Marcus Smart, in his rookie season, was a pretty good three-point shooter, even though he was still terrible from two. I think that he's someone who, like, gets good looks sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't. I don't want to, like, put it entirely on, hey, he always gets a good look and he just can't finish, because I think his speed off the dribble, despite the fact that he has, like, a pretty good first step, his overall, he doesn't really have the ability to, like, change direction. Like, he doesn't have a great crossover or like, moves. When he spins in the lane, he sort of looks a little bit out of control. He doesn't have a natural, you know, body contortion sort of move where he's still in control and manages to finish. All of those things sort of make it difficult when he runs into a bigger guy. His strength is his strength, obviously. But I think that if Marcus Smart was a power forward, like, his game would be perfect, right? But the fact that he's a 6'4 guard, or 6'5, I think he's 6'4, right? A 6'4 guard, he can post up dudes with his huge body, but he's still going to end up, like, being guarded ultimately by a lot of dudes who are bigger than him down in the lane. And that's part of what makes it difficult for him to finish, because the style of basketball he wants to play is not actually conducive with his body.
Yeah, and you know what? Somebody might hear what I said earlier about him playing well tonight, and they look at the box score or what have you, and they say, well, he's 3 of 14. How can you say that he played well? Well, he also had 3 steals, and he had 5 assists, and he was involved on defense as usual. So that's why I said he played well tonight. But I feel like with all the hype that comes from management about him and people around the league, I'm just waiting for him to take a huge step. And maybe I'm calling for it too early, but this playoff run right here that's about to happen, this is when I think that he needs to actually show something. He needs to step up, and he needs to play a little bit more consistently. He needs to take better shots. He needs to figure it out. And I know that shooting doesn't come overnight, but I'm going to start to call for more from Marcus Smart, I think. So I'm going to open the Movement Watches call lines at 347-215-7771. And as I said, they're brought to you by the Movement Watches. As you know, department store watches start at $400 to $500, but the good folks over at Movement have taken the middleman out, and they pass that savings directly on to you. Movement watches are slick and fashionable, and most importantly, they're affordable. They start at just $95. Go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat, and you'll get 15% off your first order, and they'll ship it for free. That's right. MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat, and you'll get the free shipping and 15% off your first order of a sweet watch. To continue the Marcus Smart discussion, I bring in Nick Sesento yet again. Nick, am I being too harsh on Marcus Smart for calling him to make a huge jump in his status as a player? Because I think he's inconsistent, or is it time for him to really start to step up here?
No, you're not out of line at all, and I know that I've kind of wavered back and forth on the Marcus Smart thing. I think on balance, I've been a little bit more critical than I've been, let's say, effusively praiseworthy of, you know, Marcus Smart. But I definitely agree, and I think that, you know, tonight is a good example of how Marcus Smart just isn't there yet when it comes to making, you know, the right NBA play, when it comes to leading, you know, the first string of an NBA offense. Even against a team like the Brooklyn Nets, there was, you know, difficulty there with Marcus Smart. And then, you know, when it comes to his offense, he just doesn't have an offensive game with which he can, you know, even come close to carrying a team. You look at his tonight, without Isaiah Thomas to be there to take, you know, those shots and to do the majority of the scoring, you kind of get this Marcus Smart that wants to, you know, be that, you know, that guy that wants to do some of those things. And you see what he shot. He took 14 shots tonight, which is, I think, the second most on the team, but he only hit three of them. He went 3 for 14 and 1 for 5 from behind the three-point line.
More bad tweets, yep.
Exactly. He reverted to the Marcus Smart you don't like, whereas he only got 5 assists, which is, I think 5 assists is good, but, you know, he's just not ready to, you know, and I agree with you. If this team, since it didn't make any moves at the deadline, if this team is going to make a deep run, we're going to need guys like Marcus Smart and need some of these younger players to elevate their game, whether it's taking a full next step or just being a little bit more consistent. Because Marcus Smart is just one of those players that just isn't consistent enough to rely on game in and game out. You don't know what you're going to get from him game in and game out.
In 2015, there was an article that came out about Ricky Rubio, how he was like the worst shooter in NBA history, and the minimum number of minutes that qualified for this article was like 5,000 minutes. Now, I've yet to be able to determine that Marcus Smart's played 5,000 minutes in the NBA, but just so you know, he's a worse shooter than Ricky Rubio. So that's how bad of a shooter he actually is.
Well, Ricky Rubio made 3 threes the other night in Boston, so.
Yeah, I mean, this was a 2015. I feel like Rubio's been a little bit better since then, although he's still a terrible shooter. The point is like Marcus Smart is hovering around as a shooter one of the worst in NBA history, which to me it's not even that's an issue. Like, yeah, he's a bad shooter, but I think you can live with that. I think the problem is Nick hit the nail on the head. Marcus Smart, you can't be the guy taking 14 shots, and you can't take those 14 shots. Like if you're taking 14 shots and 5 of them are you getting offensive rebounds and just missing putbacks, I can live with that, you know. Or somebody else creates and you're out at the 3-point line and you miss a wide open three. That's a shot. And then this is why we talk about you just can't look at the box score and say whether or not someone had a good game. You know, Al Horford didn't shoot very well either, right? He shot 6 for 16, but like every shot Al Horford took made sense to me. He just had a tough matchup with Brook Lopez, but he still, like, Al Horford had a good game to me. But Marcus Smart, I think the problem is when you have him play point guard, he just wants to do too much. I think Marcus Smart wants to do what Rui wants of him, which is to like become a better player. In order to become that better player, he thinks, well, I have to have the ball in my hands, I have to create shots. I don't like him as a point guard because then he shoots too much and he takes too many bad shots.
So the thing is that I'm concerned with when you say stuff like that, Calvin, is that if he thinks he needs to do this, why isn't he doing this in practice? And if he is, then why isn't the coaching staff steering him in a different direction? Because he's not out there handling the ball alongside Isaiah Thomas more often than not in practice. I would guess, I would like to guess that when they're doing a 5-on-5 scrimmage, he's the backup, he's the point guard on the other team, right? So he's got to have these reps already throughout the year. And if this is the way that he goes out and plays in games, then that's that to me, they allow him to do it this way. And I agree with you. I don't think that's the way to go about becoming a better player. But Nick, what do you have here?
Well, I think one of the problems with, not just Marcus Smart, but, a lot of the players on this roster is that a lot of them are incomplete players in the sense that they need somebody else to pick up a deficiency or to compensate for a deficiency that they have. For example, we talk about Isaiah Thomas, and the reason Isaiah Thomas works, especially when he plays in the backcourt with Marcus Smart, is that that's a more traditionally sized backcourt, if there could be such a thing with Isaiah Thomas on the court. But you have, instead of a 6 foot or a 6 foot one shooting guard like Avery Bradley, you have a 6 foot four, which is a more traditionally sized shooting guard like Marcus Smart, who is exceptionally good at fighting through some of the picks and helping to compensate for Isaiah Thomas when it comes to the offense. When it comes to the defense, I mean, picking up the slack for Isaiah Thomas on defense. But the same thing is true for Marcus Smart in that he's an incomplete player because he doesn't really have an offensive game to speak of. I asked this question so many times on the postgame show, is what is Marcus Smart's go-to move? It's not, shooting threes. He shouldn't be, unless he has a wide-open shot like Calvin just said. And I really appreciate Calvin, saying that I hit the nail on the head. I think that's the first time Calvin's ever given me any credit, so I feel kind of warm inside right now. But Marcus Smart is one of those players, he doesn't have an offensive game to speak of. So when Isaiah Thomas isn't there, when you don't have the ability for Marcus Smart and Isaiah Thomas to play off of each other, Marcus Smart just isn't that good of a player. And you can't. And if you want a guy, if you put the value on a guy like Marcus Smart, and I'm going to end the monologue here because I don't want to filibuster, but if you put such high value on Marcus Smart, which is what I think that Danny Ainge does, I think they value Marcus Smart, you have to get a really good deal. You have to have a really good, a trade on the table in order to move Marcus Smart. He has to be able to do certain things and have an offensive game, at least an offensive move to go to. Be able to shoot reasonably consistently well from behind the three-point line in today's NBA in order to put him on that status of being an indispensable player. And I don't think Marcus Smart is there yet. And if he wants to get there right now as we come up on the playoffs, is where he's going to have to prove that, definitely. I agree with that sentiment completely.
All right. I thought Calvin was going to follow up there, but maybe not. You have anything you want to throw out there?
I was going to let you come back in because I didn't want to monopolize. So,
no,
I
didn't feel like you were monopolizing anything.
I think the idea, what I think it probably comes down to, honestly, is that Bradley's probably not totally ready, right? Because ideally, without Isaiah Thomas in the game, you want Avery Bradley to handle the ball a little more. I know it sounds ridiculous to say, but in 2017, like, that's what you want. Avery Bradley can handle the ball now. You know what I mean? Or at least Avery Bradley at the start of this season could be a guy who can handle the ball. You want to see pick and rolls with Avery Bradley, which, they did a little bit tonight. It was more the off-ball cutting version of Avery Bradley, which is, it's still good when Isaiah's on court. I'm just saying, if you want ball handling and you don't have Rozier in the game, I would rather see the ball run through Bradley's hands. Yes, they were shorthanded, and the ball goes through Smart's hands. And even Smart at the point guard, I'm okay with, except that I don't think Smart realizes that he needs to stay in that lane. You talked about, like, when Marcus Smart runs with a second unit during practice when guys like Isaiah are out there. Don't you imagine that Marcus Smart, like, on that second unit, especially with, like, a lot of more passive guys like Jaylen Brown, like, when he's on the second unit, even Kelly Olynyk, Marcus Smart is probably dominating the basketball for that second unit offensively, right? And so that probably actually transitions to, like, when they put the ball in his hands in the actual game.
That's where I would say, as a coaching staff, you got to steer him towards something else. Even if you're out there with guys that he deems lesser or not as good of a offensive player, then they need to steer him towards getting those guys the looks anyway, because that's the way to best utilize his talent, I think. It's not to let him go do whatever he wants and shoot threes out of sync with the offense and, you know, just try and be the hero when Isaiah's out of the game. I don't know. That's not my vision for Marcus Smart, but that's probably why I'm not the head coach of the Boston Celtics.
It's a delicate balance with him, though, right? Because so many things that he does that are good are based on him just raising his energy and, like, you know, being an agitator, feeling involved in ways that, like, maybe Brad Stevens is concerned that, like, okay, if I try to sort of, like, he's the wild horse that if you try to bridle him too much, maybe it'll affect other aspects of what he does. That's the thing is, like, you're right. He does enough good things where, like, it's going to be difficult to just keep him off the court. And maybe you think if you're Brad Stevens, okay, when Isaiah's – because Marcus Smart, when Isaiah's on the court, except for sometimes when the other day in the fourth quarter where he, you know, tried to post up three times and they didn't even – three times in a row and they didn't even get the ball to Isaiah at all, and I was sort of angry about it. I think for the most part he manages to find a way to defer to Isaiah, and you do need him on the court with Isaiah because Marcus Smart basically plays small forward. And in that scenario, you know, especially with Bradley, sometimes shooting guard, but regardless, he's guarding the other team's best or, you know, with a healthy Bradley, maybe second best depending on what type of position player you have. But the point is you need him out there as a defender with Isaiah on the court. So maybe you're not trying to make him think that you're killing his faith in you, or I don't know. He might just be playing the long game with this and be willing to sacrifice, you know, 2 for 14 nights just to get us to the playoffs and have him do all the little things that he's able to do.
So, speaking of the playoffs, and we've also spoke about Isaiah Thomas sitting out tonight. He's sitting out on Sunday. I just went to sort of look at what happened with Philadelphia tonight, because they played Dallas and they kicked the crap out of them. This game on Sunday is one that kind of concerns me, and that brings me to this question. The skeptic in me thinks that the Celtics are pulling some sort of crap here to try and rest Isaiah so that they can play against Washington, because they think they can get two wins without him here this weekend. And normally I would say that's true. Looking on paper at Philadelphia and Brooklyn, I would say that the Celtics should get two wins this weekend. But looking at what Philadelphia has been doing sort of recently, and just this year in general, they're playing harder than ever before. They're playing more like an actual basketball team. I think that the Celtics are playing with fire if they are indeed resting Isaiah just to get to the Washington game here and try and get a leg up on the Wizards and move forward. Again, this is all straw man stuff in my head that I'm throwing out there, admittedly. So, do you feel like Isaiah is really banged up here? Because honestly, I didn't see the moment that he would have gotten hit in the knee. And maybe I should have gone and looked this up, but I didn't notice it being at the game the other night. It didn't occur to me that he had a bruised knee. So I question the timing of him sitting down and the timing of them saying it's just two games when they have another game immediately the very next day. It just seems strange. They would declare he's out for two games. And I just, over the years, the Celtics seem to try and deceive people with their injury reports. So as far as that's my opinion anyway, my opinion, of course. I don't know. I don't know what to think of this one.
I love this because you know, it just makes for good radio, the, you know, conspiracy theory thing. But I think the problem with it is one, I don't think if the Celtics really wanted to rest Isaiah, I don't think in today's day and age with, you know, how often guys get rested in various situations, I don't think that, like, it would even be that controversial if they did rest him for the
right?
two game. It happened in game, so I think it would be hard for them to, like, someone would already come back and be like, look, there was no contact there, like, how is he hurt? I didn't see it either, and you know I'm typically loath to allow this guy back in the air, but maybe we should ask Sando if he saw it.
Why
would you? Why would you be loath to let me on the air, Calvin? I thought we had a good rapport going back and forth here, but I didn't see anything either myself. I mean, whether or not it's a bogus injury that an excuse to get Isaiah Thomas a couple of games of rest against teams that we theoretically should be able to beat without Isaiah Thomas or not. I mean, given what other teams tend to do, Cleveland does it. The San Antonio Spurs, I think, invented this strategy of fluffing the injury report to get players rest. Golden State just sat like their entire starting lineup. I think the other.
They're doing it with some sort of a schedule, I feel, though. This to me just seems like it's kind of out of the blue, and maybe that speaks to the fact that it is an actual injury. I just am thrown off by the fact that they're declaring two games, Nick.
Two games? Yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, I think it will be mighty Belichickian of Brad Stevens to do something like that, to kind of play with the injury report, but there's probably something Isaiah Thomas played through it. It didn't seem like it was that big of a deal, and it's more like a precautionary thing, like let's not bother even taking a chance. He has a little bit of a dinged up knee, let's just sit him for a couple of days just to make sure. I think that at the worst is probably something like that. Because I didn't see anything in the game that looked like he, had to stumble off the court because his knee was so severely injured with a deep bone contusion or anything crazy like that.
Well, and the two games coincide with a road trip, It's just like you get that extra bonus of, not forcing him to once you decide to hold him out of tonight's game, you might as well hold him out of the next game. Like, maybe you argue,
that's true.
Possibly be ready for that Philly game. Yeah, but why put him through the travel at that point,
No, you're right about that. It is convenient. It's a funny way. Like you guys mentioned, the other teams resting players, and they admittedly do it. They say they're just sitting for rest. Steve Kerr came out and said it right after the game, the other night that they were going to sit three or four of those guys in their next game, and they didn't even wait till the next morning to say it. So the league's allowing that. It's fine, but this just seems like a strange way to do it. And I'm hoping that it's more they're just getting him some rest than them feeling cocky against Brooklyn and Philadelphia and trying to focus on Washington, because that conspiracy, that straw man, to me, it's not the right approach. So that's why I brought it up.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when LeBron just took 2.5 weeks off in the middle of the season for no reason? I feel like that's just what people do now. That's the NBA. Either accept it or, I don't know, stop watching.
All right, well, let's get away from the conspiracy theories, and we'll take our last break here, and we'll come back and actually discuss what might happen to this team down the stretch here, because that's the other big question on Celtics fans' minds, Calvin. Can they win a round? Can they win two rounds? Where is this team going to go? And we'll find out right after this break on the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry A. Trussell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients are created equal. So fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make the real difference, and that's why Blue Apron is so good. Blue Apron will send you meals to your house for less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or just heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best right to your door. You don't even have to go out to the grocery store. It's cold outside now. You don't have to go out and be cold. You can stay inside forever and just cook Blue Apron. They have new recipes weekly, and they're not even repeated within a year. So you make one, you don't have to do it again. It's fresh every single time. It's new every single time. You have your own little restaurant in your kitchen. You can customize your recipe each week based on your preferences. I don't like fish that much, so I'm able to customize this so that I don't get fish options. I actually got a masala spice chicken dish. I love chicken tikka masala. This is perfect. It came with a kale and lime rice side, so I kind of got a little bit of everything, got a balanced nutritional meal. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create this incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron. As someone who does not cook very well and struggles with toast bagel bites, I am actually cooking meals and I'm actually doing it pretty well, and it's an amazing experience, and it's actually really good food. So you'll love Blue Apron. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Your first choice for Internet Sports Talk Radio, CLNS Radio.
That's the old school bumper there with the it sounds like the TV's going out or something. I don't know what that noise is with good old Mike Fay saying CLNS Radio. Bringing back the old clips there. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the CLNS Radio postgame show. It's the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, of course. And if you're a Celtics fan, besides Calvin, if you're not a Celtics fan, I'm not really sure why you're listening to me right now, but we welcome you here as well. Maybe you're a Wizards fan and you want to go to the game on Monday. Maybe you want to take your family to a Celtics game. You can get a family pack presented by TD Bank, which includes four tickets, two kids' gifts, and you get to meet the wonderful leprechaun, Lucky, the Celtics mascot. They'll also give you a $20 credit to use at TD Garden. How about that? You can find great seats today at Celtics.com/family. So go check that out, and maybe you can see the Celtics play the Wizards. But first, they play Philadelphia on Sunday. Calvin, how real are my concerns about the Celtics going into Philadelphia to play this Sixers team?
I mean, based on tonight's game, pretty real, right? Like,
I would think so.
Yeah, I don't think the Sixers are any good. So I don't think it's that. I'm just not sure how well the Celtics offense is going to function. I think they needed some you know, real big play down the stretch from Jay Crowder to keep themselves out of hot water. And we didn't even talk about the questionable decision making by the Nets at the end of this game. Let me ask you this question. Two-point game, 26.3 seconds left. Do you foul 80% shooting Marcus Smart, particularly in that situation? Like, if you're going to foul them, don't you try to, like, force the ball in because you have that 2.5 second buffer and you have multiple timeouts? Don't you, like, first of all, I feel like you try to play straight up defense. But, like, at least wouldn't you try to force the ball into a worse free throw shooter's hands before you commit to the foul?
I would think so, but you know what? Marcus Smart, even though the percentage is there, I still don't view him as a very good free throw shooter. And maybe that's just my bias, but there was a point earlier in the season, and it's gone away now, but there was a point where he was guaranteed to miss one of two because he wasn't focused. And once he got focused, he was a great free throw shooter. So that's come around a little bit, but maybe teams still look at him and say, he's bound to miss one here or there. Let's foul him, or it's okay to foul him. Not let's go get him, but if he gets the ball, let's do it that way. And I don't know. It's like the college mentality since we're in the middle of the NCAA basketball tournament. It's a college mentality to extend the game and get as many seconds to stay on the clock as possible so you can get a decent shot off. And Brad Stevens has that mentality as well, I feel. But the NBA mentality is to sort of foul or play defense, right? And just straight up play some D, usually. And I feel like the college game is sort of leaking into the NBA recently, and that's where you see this extension of the game in the last 5 minutes even more so than what it used to be.
Yeah, I guess. My thought was, again, you had the full 24-second situation, and it was a one-possession game. I just feel like, look, I understand if it becomes a thing where the clock is a factor, then you don't play defense. Or even if let's say there's, like, less than a second left, and you're going to have to do a tip-in. But the fact is, with timeouts and with inbounding the ball, like, 2.5 seconds, or even it might have been 2.3 seconds or something, that's still plenty of time to get a shot off, especially when you don't even need a three in that situation. If you play decent defense, you can get a rebound and call a timeout easily. I don't know. It just seemed like a terrible decision on the part of the Nets, in my opinion, especially, like I said, the odds. The odds, even if he hits one of two, that still changes your situation from a two-point situation to a three-point situation. Play some D, man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so this is kind of where I would feel as a player, especially a guy like maybe Brook Lopez, who's been on the team for a long time. He's been in the league for a long time. He's had a handful of coaches. He's been in a lot of late-game situations, you know. This is where you sort of have to ask the question about the coaching staff versus the players and who's calling the shots in a last-minute situation like that, a last-second situation like that, last-possession situation. Because if I'm Brook Lopez, I'm speaking up at some point, right? I mean, Atkinson is a first-year coach. You don't quite want to question your coach, but you, as a veteran, there are guys throughout the league that would definitely speak up and say something and say, "Hey, listen, let's man up a little bit here instead of doing this playing the game that you want to play here, coach." And just playing it out that way. And I don't know, I'm not to blame Brook Lopez, but I just feel like that roster, that organization, they're bound to do things like that at the end of games and not approach it the right way because they are inexperienced, for lack of a better word.
I mean, I have to question Brook Lopez, right, at this point, and not just because of what you said, but I have to question, it's just the fact that he's been with the Nets forever, hasn't wanted to leave, you know, he hasn't openly made demands that he wants to leave, but, like, he's been there forever, been a good player. Granted, he gets hurt sometimes, but, like, he's had a pretty productive career. He's never, like, demanded that the team get better or, like, or really asked for a trade, even though they've explored trading him and apparently have asked for too much in said trade. But so the fact that he's content there, and, you know, going back to what I said earlier, the fact that he's a gigantic monster who only averages 5 rebounds a game, yeah, I got a question. And the fact that he didn't particularly seem upset about this situation, yeah, I'm questioning his mental fortitude or his desire a little bit.
Yeah, and I've questioned that before as well, but maybe he's just given into the fact that this is where he is and they are a work in progress and they're going to put up games like this and they're going to make decisions like that towards the end of games. So, I don't know. The Nets definitely did not help themselves in this game tonight. And the Celtics, I mean, won the game, but they didn't play amazing. They had a few guys that played pretty well. They looked good as a team without Isaiah Thomas. And they found a way to win the game, which is necessary. I don't know whether you'd rather discuss sort of the overall outlook of what's about to happen with the upcoming weeks into the playoffs, or if you'd rather discuss a no-show in the game tonight, two no-shows actually. No, I'm not going to give Terry Rozier a no-show because he rebounded the ball well and he impacted the game on offense, but where, Calvin, was Jaylen Brown? And then we'll get into a little bit of playoff talk here towards the end of the show. But where was Jaylen Brown tonight?
Oh, can I, really quick, before I get to Jaylen Brown, to clarify, because I managed to look it up earlier and I forgot to mention that Smart is second to Ronnie Price in terms of worst field goal percentage since he's been in the league over the last three seasons. So, worse than Ricky Rubio. Anyway. Back to Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, where was he?
I think it was one of those nights where he just didn't have the ball in his hands that much. I didn't think he played particularly badly. They just sort of didn't give him very many looks in the offense when he was out there. You know, it's not like they don't really run plays with the ball. They didn't post him up. So, like, it's like, he was off ball most of the time.
Yeah, and what else? For a game against the Nets, they played the starters quite a bit, and this was a starter-heavy game. They got a lot of minutes tonight for a regular season game against the Brooklyn Nets here.
Well, I think it's an important game, right? Because if they lose this game, then all of a sudden they're back in the three spot. And I think even beyond which one of those teams gets the two and the three, and maybe you're going to tell me this is ridiculous, and I'd be curious to know what you think about this, Furry. But I feel like the Heat are looming there a little bit, right? Down up to the seventh spot now.
I work with a Heat fan that doesn't. He's quiet about it, and I rag on him because I know he's a Heat fan now. And once in a while, I'll say something like, "Oh, the Heat they're making a run, huh?" And he'll always be quiet and, "Oh, no, they're not making a run." And I said that to him a couple weeks ago, and he didn't say anything, right? But today he comes to me and says, "So the Heat." They look like they're going to make the playoffs, huh? And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. This guy's turning now too. So yeah, the Heat are right there. They are making a run, and of all people, it's Dion Waiters running the show down there. Can you believe that? Not to go on a tangent about the Miami Heat or anything.
Well, the Heat are 23-5 since January 17, which is the best record in the NBA. Now, I'm not saying that they're the best team in the NBA, but what I'm saying is. You know, if they end up as a 6 or 7 seed, the Celtics or Wizards, like, whatever else you want to say about the Heat, like whether you think they're for real or not, you'd still rather play the Pacers or the Bulls or even the Bucks, right? Can we agree on that, or do you not even agree on that point?
No, I would agree on that because I would say to you that even though the Bucks have a outstanding player in Antetokounmpo and the Bulls have an outstanding scorer in Jimmy Butler, the Heat are the only team in that bottom half of the bracket that have an outstanding center that would just dominate the Celtics big men in Hassan Whiteside. So I feel like if he brings his A-plus game, which I would expect him to do in the playoffs, the Celtics have nothing to counter him. And aside from Isaiah being otherworldly, and they would have to outplay pretty much everybody else on Miami, and I would be afraid of Whiteside in that series. And not that he would put them over the top, but if it came to a Game 7 situation, I could totally see Miami pulling that one out because of him. So the Celtics would have to put that one away early. And to me, I'm not sold that this team is going to put a first round series away early. I don't see it happening yet. They're just not big enough.
Yeah, and I mean, at least with the Heat, they can, there are guys that they can put Isaiah on, as opposed to, like, I think that, you know, that's why the Wizards are a tough matchup for them, right? Because it's like, who do you put Isaiah on in that situation? But with the Heat, at least you could put him on like a Babbitt or even a Magruder, and you'd be fine. That's like always a challenge for Brad Stevens, even though they managed to hide him through sort of team defense as well sometimes. But I don't think
all
that'd
right.
be as much of an issue with them. But anyway, I know.
We're talking playoffs now. I want to talk a little playoffs because it's coming up, and I don't know when I'm going to have an opportunity to talk playoffs with you on the post game show. I know I'm on post game on Sunday, but I need to remind myself who I'm hosting with, and that's neither here nor there. But so I want to talk to you about the playoffs right now. The Celtics are currently 2 games behind Cleveland, but 3 in the loss column. First of all, this might be a quick one, yes or no answer. It might be. Is it conceivable if the Celtics could find a way to get that one seed, or do you think they're pretty much locked into a 2-3 battle with Washington?
You know, there was a time, it's funny because I seesaw with this particular question because, you know, right before the trade deadline, I was pushing, based on the fact that Cleveland was struggling, I was pushing for them, and I thought they had a chance. They didn't make a move, and I thought, oh, the chance is gone. And then Cleveland started playing, you know, well, and the Celtics lost a few games, and it went to 5. And I thought, well, now it's really gone. And then Cleveland started struggling again, and the Celtics made a little run, a little bit of a run, and now it's back to 3. I would say there's not quite enough time. You know, add another 10 games on the end of the season, and I would, like, probably feel pretty good about it. I feel like they're not going to quite catch Cleveland.
Nick Sesento back on the air with us. How do you feel about that? You think the C's got a shot at this thing? I mean, I think Calvin's got – he's onto something here. We got 13 games left after tonight, and that, to me, is enough time if Cleveland continues to play 500 basketball, but are they going to do that? How do you feel about it, Nick?
No, I definitely agree that with what Calvin just said, that, you know, if there were a few more games on the schedule, you know, another 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games on the schedule, there may be a chance. There's just not enough time at this point. You know, if they hadn't lost some of those games, you know, that they could have won, Phoenix, for example. There was a point maybe a week or two ago where it seemed like every time Cleveland lost, we lost as well. Every time we lost, Cleveland lost, whatever. And we just didn't make, you know, and that was the same time that Washington was kind of gaining ground on us. I think that was a good chance for us, you know, to make up that ground. And we just didn't do it when, you know, we didn't strike when the iron was hot, so to speak. And it just, you know, didn't happen. But I just wanted to make a comment on the Heat since you guys brought
up. Yeah, please do.
Definitely don't like the Hassan Whiteside matchup because, you know, obviously he's one of those dominant, you know, bigs, those dominant classic bigs. He's a big, you know, tall, strong guy. He can rebound. He can, you know, get down gritty in the paint. You just don't want to, you know, you don't like that matchup. Although at the other end, I think our backcourt is far superior to the Heat's backcourt. But if you look at the games, we're, I think, 3-0 against the Heat this season. I don't think we've lost a game to the Heat this whole season. So I think while you'd probably prefer a team like, you know, the Pacers, you know, I'm not all that frightened about the Heat, especially if we have home court advantage. I don't think the Heat are going to overcome, you know, the team that we have. And especially Isaiah Thomas, I think, will be the best player on the court, regardless of whether Hassan Whiteside is, you know, the best big man and can grab up all the rebounds. Isaiah Thomas will still be the best player on the court, and I think the team with the best player, especially in the first round, probably has the best chance of winning that series.
Well, it's going to come down to Dragic and whether he continues on this trend. He's been playing out of his mind lately. And, I mean, Deion Waiters, like I mentioned before. So I don't know if the Heat can pull it off. I don't think they can. What do you have there, Calvin? But Whiteside is the thing that scares me for sure.
Yeah, the thing about those Celtics Heat games, apparently there's a third one. Yeah, the last one they played was on December 30th. So the Heat started the season out 11-30 or whatever, and they were, you know, riddled with injuries. They haven't played since the Heat have sort of turned the corner and gone on their run. So not to, like, discount games that happened in the season early, you know, not that it means nothing, but they beat the Heat three times when everyone was beating the Heat three times, I guess is what I would say. I don't think that necessarily applies to you.
Calvin and Matt, a question for you then. So does that mean that along with the game on Monday against the Wizards at home at TD Garden, which we're going to be circling that on the calendar, we should also be circling March 26th when we play Miami at TD Garden? It's kind of like a, you know, one of those litmus test games to see where this team is, because, you know, we're going to be playing basically a team that matches up fairly well with us. They have, you know, some matchup advantages against us. They're a hot team right now in the East and could be a potential, you know, first round matchup against us if they hold on to, say, for example, the seventh seed and we hold on to the second seed. Maybe we see Miami. So would you put March 26th against the Heat as kind of like a test game for the Celtics as well as, you know, the game against Washington?
I mean, they don't have a lot of test games left, right? So at this point, I definitely would say that. And like I said a few minutes ago, they've had the best record in the NBA since mid-January. So certainly, you know, whether you think that's for real or not is an interesting question. I remember that year the Rockets won 20 games in a row, but they weren't actually that good. But, you know, the Heat during the stretch, you know, beat Cleveland two or three times. They've had some legitimate road wins. They went into Houston and won. So I don't know that I totally think they're for real. They're just based on what their roster is. But
I mean,
again, they're an interesting case study. What do you think?
But listen, guys, the Celtics. You said not many test games left. I mean, they're scheduled down the stretches. There's a couple of cupcakes, but it's not a bunch. If you're talking about playoff teams, I mean, you've got Washington coming up on Monday. We've mentioned that multiple times. They have the Pacers. Miami and Milwaukee are both currently in the playoffs, so those are teams that are coming up on the Celtics schedule. They see Cleveland again, and they're going away to Atlanta as well, and then they end with Milwaukee as the final home game of the season. That Milwaukee game might be important to Milwaukee and not the Celtics. It might be important to both of them. You never know what's going to happen there, but there are a handful of games left on the schedule to me that would be indications that the Celtics would be in trouble. And you know what? I'll even put the Charlotte Hornets on that list, because I don't want the Celtics to be playing down to teams either. And if they're going to be up and down, if they're going to try and push for the one seed or guarantee the two seed, the cupcakes on this list, the Nets again, Charlotte, the Knicks, Orlando, the Phoenix Suns come to Boston on Friday, March 24th. They need to win that game too. Obviously, they're going to drop some of the games to the better teams that are out there, but you can't be dropping games to the Phoenixes and the Orlandos and the New York Knicks of the world going forward here. Split those other games that I just mentioned. Win the cupcakes, if you will, and I think you're in a good position if you're the Celtics. But if they start losing games to teams like Brooklyn and Philadelphia on Sunday and what have you, then they don't have a shot at the one for sure, and you're going to be looking at a 2-3 matchup, and that's where my next question comes into play. How important is the 2 versus the 3? Because to me, I don't want to see Washington in an away series in the second round if the Celtics were to get there. That to me is a series that goes either way, home or away. And Washington has the advantage when they play down there, and the Celtics have had the advantage when they've played up here this year. And I think that it's a trend that will continue in the playoffs. And I don't want to see that team take the 2 seed from the Celtics. I want them to keep that 2 seed. Calvin, am I overreacting? How important is that 2 seed?
I would say somewhat. It's somewhat important. Again, it may matter. If I had to put, let me phrase it this way. If I had to put like value in between the 2 and the 3, but between either the Celtics choosing the 2 or 3 or choosing their first round opponent, I would put value in them choosing their first round opponent. In other words, like if you know if the Heat are 7 and Miami 6, I'd rather be a 3 and play Miami and then play Washington in the second round, just because I think Washington doesn't have a particularly strong home court. I think that what you're talking about has a lot to do with travel, which means less in the playoffs in terms of obviously flying into a place where a team has already been and then, you know, playing them the next night and then leaving or coming from someplace else that's not home and then playing them. It's always going to be difficult. There's a small – I don't mean to discount it entirely because I think there's a small psychological edge when a team knows it has Game 7 at home. But I think that only applies when a series gets to Game 7 and, you know, most series don't get to a Game 7. I think that Washington is a somewhat difficult matchup for Boston anyway, regardless of like where that seventh game is played. Obviously, you'd rather have the two than the three, but just I don't know. I tend to feel like that. I don't necessarily feel like a series is going to come down to just that based on how strong their home court is. I guess it would come down to talent for me in this particular case.
Yeah, and you know what? I might be looking too far ahead here. Maybe I should start focusing on them winning a series first before they get to a second-round series with the Washington Wizards. But, Nick, how important do you think the 2 seed is as opposed to the 3?
No, I definitely think this Celtics team, given the fact that it really has, you know, Isaiah Thomas and you know, a lot of really good role players but no true secondary option, I think that they need every advantage they can get. I agree with Calvin to an extent that, you know, the Wizards aren't the strongest home court, but, you know, I think this team plays better, and especially when it comes to the playoffs, so it can use the crowd, the home crowd, that extra game, if it gets that far. And you'd hope that the Celtics wouldn't have to, but if you're playing the Washington Wizards, they're a very tough matchup. They have two backcourt players that are extremely talented and young, and they and match up well with our, you know, with our backcourt. In addition to that, they have a guy like Marcin Gortat, who I think is averaging a double-double. I mean, he's one of those centers that can, you know, that can probably give Al Horford some problems, can match up well with Al Horford because he's a banger and Al Horford just isn't. So, you know, it's going to be a finesse versus a little bit, you know, bigger team in the Washington Wizards. And I think that we need whatever advantage we can get to either avoid them in the second round or to have the advantage of an extra game at TD Garden against them in the second round.
All right. But like I said, we probably shouldn't be looking too far into the playoffs here. The Celtics still need to secure their spot, and they need to figure out who they're going to play, and then they need to figure out how they're going to beat that team in the first round before they get to the second round, because they haven't been able to do that in the past couple of years. Calvin, I'm looking to wrap this thing up, unless you have anything else you want to say about the game or life in general.
You want some life philosophy for me?
No, man, I'm just trying to tell you that the show is over, and I didn't want to pull the rug out from underneath you without letting you know.
Yeah, I guess, final thoughts, real, you know, I'll just do a sort of quick rundown. Guys who had a good game, Jay Crowder, Al Horford, Avery Bradley, smart on one end, not the other end. You know, like you said, Jaylen Brown, not so much. Kelly Olynyk, hit and miss, Rozier, not so good. Amir is starting to, you know, he had his moments, but he's starting to look pretty creaky out there defensively. But hopefully they'll play better in this next game.
Yeah, this next game is Sunday. And it's me and it's Nick Gelso on the post-game show.
Ooh,
on Sunday. So that'll be fun at 3:30 p.m. Eastern when the Celtics take on Philadelphia, or after the Celtics take on Philadelphia at 1 o'clock. So tune in to us then. The post-game show from tonight will be available for on-demand listening by searching for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Follow CLNS Radio on social media at CLNS Radio on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/CLNSFans. Today's show was brought to you by SeatGeek and ZipRecruiter. You can visit ZipRecruiter and get a free membership, trial membership, by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. And don't forget Blue Apron. Jared Weiss told you about Blue Apron. They have great kale, and you can get 3 free meals from them and free shipping. He likes the tiki masala. We know that. BlueApron.com/CLNS. Our friends at Movement Watches will get you a nice watch for a decent price. MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat for 15% off and free shipping on your first purchase. AudiblePodcast.com/trynow is where you go to get a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Our music tonight was provided by Nick Sacento, along with those hot takes. Joshua Morse as well for the music. Thank you. Thank you to the callers that did not call today and everyone who tuned in, because I know you're listening out there because you love us. For CLNS Radio, executive producer Larry H. Russell, our program director Justin Poulin, the founder of the network and my co-host on Sunday, Nick Gelso. For my co-host tonight, check out Careless Whispers on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m., Calvin Chamberlain. My name is Matt Rury. We'll see you all back here on Sunday when the Celtics take on those dreaded Philadelphia 76ers. Have a good night, everybody.